Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, we'll hear an alternative view of what's really going on in our world today concerning the coronavirus. This is an alternative view that is backed up by a lot of evidence, much of which is being censored. And then we'll examine a few of the points made in the presentation by listening to other scientists, researchers, and doctors. As always, don't take my word for it or the speaker's word for any of this. Do your own research. But please don't use the mainstream corporate media for much of your research. They've proven time and again that they can't be trusted to give us the truth on most important issues. One glaring example of this would be the lies that they parroted and pushed without any investigative journalism concerning the Iraq War and the non-existent weapons of mass destruction, yellow cake, or the baseless assertions that Saddam Hussein was somehow involved in 9/11. Another example of the so-called mainstream corporate media demonstrating their untrustworthiness is who killed Martin Luther King. It has been proven in a court of law who did it, and it wasn't James Earl Ray. So they simply omit it. They just don't talk about it. And then there's 9/11. The University of Alaska recently completed a four-year study proving that World Trade Center 7 came down by controlled demolition. And I'm betting that you haven't heard a lot about that in the mainstream media. I know I haven't. At the end of the show, I'll be providing some websites and books to help you do your own research. And if you can't stay till the end of the show will be archived for 2 weeks at wwuh.org and also long-term at the website radioforall.net. And that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. And once on that site, look for the shows under my name, Cheryl, with a C. If you're scratching your head and wondering about the draconian responses to the COVID-19 virus, the masks, the lockdowns, the tests, the death rates, the cases, small business closures, ruining people's economic futures, you're not alone. But there's massive censorship of anyone challenging the established view on the virus. The censorship concerning the virus even shocks me, and I'm no stranger to censorship. So we're going to start by listening to a presentation from Canadian professor Michelle Chusadovsky, the co-founder of the great website globalresearch.ca. Michelle Chusadovsky is an award-winning author, professor of economics at the University of Ottawa, and director of the Center for Research on Globalization in Montreal. He's the author of The Globalization of Poverty and the New World Order and America's War on Terrorism. He is also a contributor to the Encyclopedia Britannica, and his writings have been published in more than 20 languages. The audio clip you're about to hear is from a video by Professor Michelle Chusadovsky called COVIDgate, the Political Virus, and it was posted on the website globalresearch.ca on August 29th, 2020. And here it is, Professor Michelle Chusadovsky.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Chusadovsky. This is a program of the Center for Research on Globalization, Global Research, based in Montreal. And today I would like to focus on the virus, but on what might be described as the political virus. The fact that this COVID-19 is playing a key role in explaining policy decisions at the highest levels of government. We are currently living history, and by far this is one of the most serious economic and social crises in modern history. On the 11th of March 2020, the orders were given from higher up, emanating from the financial establishment, the World Economic Forum, the foundations and the billionaires, to implement a lockdown, confinement, but also the closing down of 193 national economies, namely the member states of the United Nations. Now, reflect. decision-making process which underlies this decision to close down simultaneously the economies of all these countries and essentially to close down the economy of planet Earth. And we're talking about the real economy. We're not talking about financial institutions. We're talking about real people. We're talking about companies. We're talking about people who have lost their jobs. We're talking about the impact of this measure on employment, poverty, and beyond poverty, famine and despair. And these measures were applied in both the developed countries, essentially the Western world, Japan, Korea, Australia, and in the developing world, namely Southeast Asia, Latin America, and so on. In other words, and of course, sub-Saharan Africa. And how does one explain this decision? If you followed the election campaign in the United States, and I'm fortunately not involved in that debate, we're here in Canada, but Joe Biden says candidly that
we can find the light,
the economic collapse of these 193 countries is caused by the virus, big V. In other words, the virus becomes a political concept. And you may have noticed the political speeches, and they are replicated in Western Europe. Emmanuel Macron in France, Boris Johnson in the United Kingdom. The collapse of the economy is attributed to the virus. Now, I beg to differ, because the virus does not have any impact whatsoever on economic variables. It doesn't affect the levels of employment. It doesn't affect the levels of poverty. It doesn't trigger bankruptcies. What happened? On March 11, the World Health Organization declared a pandemic. And it also declared confinement and closure of economic activity. But that decision was not taken by the World Health Organization. But it was taken by the World Economic Forum, powerful financial groups, foundations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Ford Foundation, so on. They had earlier met in Davos in the month of January. And the narrative is as follows. It says that economic activity at the level of planet Earth is an obstacle to public health, and that you have to close down your economies with a view to resolving a health crisis. Essentially, COVID-19 provides the pretext and the justification to close down the global economy with devastating economic and social consequences. This, together with the mask, social distancing, which are presented to public opinion as a protection to their health, which is absolute rubbish from the scientific point of view. We have tons of studies, and we can even quote Fauci. Although Fauci says one thing a few months ago, and then he refutes and says the wearing of the mask has to be implemented universally. Now, all these are lies. And when Joe Biden or Bill Clinton make statements blaming the virus for economic collapse, blaming the virus for the closure of the national economy, well, my first reaction, that borders on ridicule. It borders on stupidity, but it's not stupidity. It's fraud. It's corruption. It's a lie. Anybody knows, common sense, that if you close down your economy during a public health crisis, you paralyze all economic activities, and that in turn, let's be very clear, the impact of this closure of the economy is far more serious than the pandemic itself. It has impacts on mortality and morbidity, and scientists can corroborate that, and social scientists, economists have analyzed it. And the international organizations such as the ILO and even the World Bank have acknowledged it. But what they don't acknowledge it is the decision-making process from higher authority of the financial establishment, global capitalism, dictating this measure. And why do they do that? It seems absurd. Why do they need to impoverish people and contribute to bankruptcy? Well, there's a very simple reason to that, is that they have increased and expanded their wealth, and that started in the course of the month of February with the financial crash. And now what is happening? The landscape of the global economy is in disarray. Small and medium-sized enterprises have been destabilized and triggered into bankruptcy almost everywhere. And we're talking about planet Earth. But there's another thing. The architects of this project, which involved the Rockefellers, the Gates, and so on, I don't need to list the names. This is a project which has been carefully engineered and planned well in advance. But what happens when we go back to so-called normalization? We have bankrupt companies, we have crisis in the service economy, crisis in real production. In fact, you might say that this is a conflict between finance capital on the one hand and real capitalism on the other, but it is also a devastating process which affects the livelihood of millions and millions and billions of people who lose their jobs, who lose their livelihood, who can't make ends meet, who can't pay their debts. And then what happens? In the aftermath, which is called the reset, okay? They call it the reset. And now the reset is to come to the rescue of those who have been the victims of this crisis, but of course it's all due to COVID, and then they blame COVID on China. What happens is that the financial establishment will start picking up the pieces of the bankrupt enterprises, the airline companies which are in bankruptcy. Virtually every single major airline in Latin America is in bankruptcy. What will they do? They will appropriate the real wealth with the masses of money wealth which they have accumulated in the course of the crisis, particularly during the month of February. Now, there are many lies. First of all, and I've reflected on this, the act of closing down the global economy is an act of genocide. We might describe it as economic genocide. It has the bearing on the lives of millions and millions of people. That is corroborated. And it is not something which is spontaneous. And it's certainly not due to the virus, to this small virus, no. And now they are telling us, and we are believing that, the virus responsible for poverty, unemployment, despair. It's a nonsensical statement, but people are intimidated with the fear campaign, with the disinformation campaign, and with the fact that this virus is considered as very, very dangerous. Very dangerous, threatening the future of humanity. It's not. All the science and peer-reviewed reports confirm that the virus, the coronavirus 19, which incidentally its official name is SARS-2. Its official name is SARS-2, which means it's part of the SARS-1 family of viruses. And it is tagged as something which is similar or akin to seasonal influenza coupled with pneumonia. I don't want to get into the discussion of the virus itself, but I can say, having reviewed the literature, that the RT-PCR test, which is there to confirm positive cases, doesn't mean anything. Because a positive case doesn't mean that you have it, and a negative case might mean that you do have it. But the virologists have come certainly to a consensus that the PCR test doesn't provide you with an information as to the dangers of COVID-19, and it's not even possible to say whether it was COVID 1, 2, 3, 4 or 19 which were responsible, because it's an aggregate of viruses and particles. Now the second element is the estimates and what our governments have been doing, not in all countries, but you can see it in some countries, certainly in the United States and Canada and Britain. They are there, they want to push up the numbers. They even hire consulting firms. In Britain, they hired Deloitte Touche, an accounting firm. They want the numbers to go up. They want more tests. And with more tests, of course, they will get positive cases. But those positive cases don't mean a thing. And in the United States, again, there are even financial incentives which are given to clinics to have more admissions, and then you tag them as COVID-19. With regard to death certificates, there's a vast literature. Medical specialists have spoken out. The death certificates are fake. The CDC in the United States changed the criteria. Previously, they were using criterion determined in 2003. And the website of Robert Kennedy Jr. has revealed that if they had stuck to their previous criteria, the deaths attributed to COVID-19 would be 90% less, okay? In other words, there's a fabrication of the deaths, of the causes of death. In some cases, somebody dies on a motorbike crash, and then, of course, he's identified as COVID-19. A heart attack, anything, is COVID-19, pushing up the death rates and then creating panic, and creating panic with the support of the mainstream media. And what we have to do is to confront the lies, because the lies are being presented as the truth. And when the lie becomes the truth, there's no moving backwards. The tendency is towards a police state with a so-called vaccine, which would serve also as a digital passport. There are many different dimensions of this crisis, but let's organize and let's confront the fraudulent politicians and financiers who are behind this project.
And again, you were just listening to author and professor Michel Jasudowsky giving his presentation called COVIDgate, a Political Virus. So now let's take a closer look at a few of the points brought up in the previous presentation. The first one I'd like to focus on is the testing. Now you would think that with the assuredness that the authorities display in shutting down businesses, mandating mask wearing, and distancing, which all have a huge devastating effect on all of us and on our livelihoods, you would think that they had some solid scientific evidence to back up their draconian response to the virus, but it turns out that they don't. Much of the government response to the coronavirus is based on the test results, and one of the tests being used is the PCR test, which is the polymerase chain reaction test. It's been used here in Connecticut. One testing site in Rocky Hill had 90 false positive tests out of 144 given. That's about two-thirds of these people being incorrectly diagnosed as having the virus. Not a very reliable test to be locking people down and closing their businesses. But let's hear what a few more scientists have to say about that. The first one is from a doctor who preferred to remain anonymous. His article was posted by Julian Rose on March 27, 2020 on the website globalresearch.ca. with an introduction by Julian Rose that goes like this. Quote, The following is from a medical forum. The writer, who is a widely respected professional scientist in the U.S., prefers to stay anonymous because presenting any narrative different than the official one can cause you a lot of stress in the toxic environment caused by the scam which surrounds COVID-19 these days. And here's the article written by this anonymous doctor. And here goes. I work in the healthcare field. Here's the problem. We are testing people for any strain of a coronavirus, not specifically for COVID-19. There are no reliable tests for a specific COVID-19 virus. There are no reliable agencies or media outlets for reporting numbers of actual COVID-19 virus cases. This needs to be addressed first and foremost. Every action and reaction to COVID-19 is based on totally flawed data, and we simply cannot make accurate assessments. This is why you're hearing that most people with COVID-19 are showing nothing more than cold, flu-like symptoms. That's because most coronavirus strains are nothing more than cold or flu-like symptoms. And next we're going to hear from a Dr. Beverly Rubick. And Dr. Beverly Rubick earned her PhD in biophysics at the University of California in Berkeley and has conducted research for nearly 40 years on the energy field of life. She is an internationally renowned expert in the biofield and energy medicine and the author of over 90 scientific papers and 2 books. She is the founder and president of the Institute for Frontier Science, a 501c3 nonprofit in Emeryville, California. She is an adjunct faculty member at the College of Integrative Health Studies at Saybrook University in Pasadena. So has a good scientific background. And what you're going to hear next is a question I asked her on a teleconference call, and she gave me permission to use her response on this show. So here's my question and her response.
These PCR tests, are they able to distinguish between the coronavirus itself, and I understand there's a whole bunch of other coronaviruses that have been around with us for a long time that are in the common cold. Can that test separate those out and tell us which one it is that they're showing positive for?
No. In fact, I heard if you have the common cold or any common cold recently, and I don't know how long you would test positive for COVID, but it will test positive. And I don't know how long that will last, probably as long as that virus may be circulating in your system, which may be even beyond the symptoms for another month or so. So that's problematic. And just as soon as sniffle season begins, fall and winter, we can expect another big peak and probably more lockdowns or more reversal of the minor, let's say, breather that we got during some of the summer. But not in California. We're still pretty much large numbers of cases here. But I can expect that they're going to see another peak, whether it's coronavirus, COVID, or some other coronaviruses like common cold ones. We won't know. The test does not distinguish.
So our continued response to the COVID-19 virus is based on this faulty testing. And yet each time there are new cases based on this inaccurate testing, we close schools, we force people to wear face masks, we lock down, we put people out of business, ruin livelihoods, all based on this inaccurate testing. There are many doctors in Europe and the U.S. who have stated that the COVID-19 virus is very similar to the seasonal flu and that there's no need for lockdowns, masks, and social distancing, and that there are actually very effective treatments, so no vaccines are needed. But these treatments are inexpensive, and no one will make a lot of money on them, and the vaccines will make big pharma billions. But that's another story. Since March, we've all been bombarded and inundated with fear. Fear of this invisible COVID-19 virus. And you're reminded of its dangers daily when you go out and see everyone wearing the face masks, which have actually been proven to not work in study after study, including studies by the CDC itself. And if you want to see a doctor demonstrating how ineffective they are, you can go to YouTube before they censor it and take it down. The title of the video is Dr. Ted Noel, N-O-E-L, Masks don't work. So Dr. Ted Noel, masks don't work. And he demonstrates with smoke how permeable these masks are. And again, please don't take my word for any of this, but do your own research. There's an agenda behind the COVID-19 virus, just as there was an agenda behind 9/11. If you do your own research, you can really discover what that agenda is. And so this is a good point in the show for me to start giving you the websites and the resources so you can do your own research and check this out for yourself. The first one is the great website, globalresearch.ca, which has all sorts of different writers and researchers from around the world posting articles there based on their research, etc. So great website. If you go there and you do a search for COVID-19 in the search box, you should get lots of articles there to read. Then there's the website CorbettReport.com. And if you go there, and I would recommend the two shows that James Corbett did on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and their influence on healthcare throughout the world. Very informative. And then there's the website MedicineUncensored.com. So MedicineUncensored.com. And there's a lot there on the drug hydroxychloroquine, and showing kind of the scandal and the cover-up on that and how it actually really works to treat COVID-19. So that's MedicineUncensored.com. And then the next one is Children's Health Defense. So ChildrensHealthDefense.org. And that's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website that, of course, he works with a lot of other people, that has some interesting information also. So ChildrensHealthDefense.org. And then rents.com, which I don't agree with everything they have up there, but they do have some interesting articles that they've gathered together from many different resources on COVID-19. So rents, R-E-N-S-E.com. And then we have thehighwire.com. So thehighwire.com, and that's with Del Bigtree. And if you search through there for past videos, you'll see lots of them on COVID-19. Then there's nearly 1,000 German doctors and scientists who have said that the COVID-19 is nothing more than like a flu, seasonal flu. And their website is www.acu2020.org. acu2020.org. And you can get a lot of the videos translated into English there if you click on the right button. So again, acu2020.org. And then America's Frontline Doctors Summit.com. So America's Frontline Doctors Summit.com. And these are doctors who came together in July and were saying that hydroxychloroquine works. And they were talking about other aspects of the testing and things that were fraudulent or not accurate. And they've been censored. So again, the website is America's Frontline Doctors Summit.com. And then the Last American Vagabond.com. So the Last American Vagabond.com. And when you're on there, I want you to particularly search for the web series across the top and read those articles. There's three articles there. They're in depth, but they kind of give you a great background on the connections between the different drills that were going on with the anthrax attacks prior to 9/11 and then with the COVID-19 pandemic and the connections between the two. So very interesting articles by Whitney Webb. So again, that's the lastamericanvagabond.com and the web series. And then there's the book that just came out, and it's called When China Sneezes. It's a new book from Clarity Press, and it's been edited by former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. And it's called, again, When China Sneezes by Clarity Press. And now I'm going to switch the focus to 9/11. There's a lot happening in the 9/11 truth movement right now. And last week, there were four online conferences to commemorate the 19th anniversary of that tragic event. I'll be sharing them with you in future broadcasts, but if you want to view them yourself, here are the three websites to go to. The first one is ae911truth.org. AE standing for Architects and Engineers, so ae911truth.org. The next one is noliesradio.org. So again, noliesradio.org. And the last one is lc4911.org. So the letters LC4FOR www.nlw.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.